BBC Radio 4 Together. This is Anna Collinson and Eddie Mair. It's a special programme to coincide with Newsbeat's new documentary, Brought Up on Porn. It's on the BBC iPlayer now. Pornography has never been so freely available, on your phone, on your computer, and for free. So we're going to hear from people who've been brought up in that era, about the effect it's having on their lives.
And we'll warn you now that on this Newsbeat and PM special, you will hear people talking very frankly about adult themes. If you're likely to be offended or you're listening with people who you think shouldn't hear that kind of thing, you might want to rejoin us after 6 o'clock.
Two-thirds of 15-year-olds in the UK have apparently seen porn online. There have been studies suggesting young women often feel pressured to act a certain way during sex because of what their partners have seen. Other experts have also made a link between watching porn and unprotected sex.
We want to talk about how people in their 20s feel porn is affecting their self-confidence, their body image, and their relationships. You can join the conversation between now and 6. Text 81199. You can email pm@bbc.co.uk or newsbeat@bbc.co.uk. Josh is a student in Manchester. He says he watches porn most days on his phone. Rahel says her ex-boyfriend watched a lot of porn and believes it had a negative impact on their relationship. Peter Saddington is a sex therapist in the East Midlands. And Bethany MacDonald runs sex education classes, which includes discussions about porn, and as you'll hear, very few classes actually do that.
Let's also introduce you to some of the people from Newsbeat's Brought Up on Porn documentary, starting with Tash, who believes watching porn helped her understand her sexuality.
I have quite a complicated relationship with porn because I know that sort of the industry side of things can be quite corrupt, and I don't like the exploitation of women, and I don't like the way that it makes men see women, but I also really do recognise the benefits of it for people who maybe don't know who they are yet and are trying to find out. I think sex is now seen as this sort of really fun and crazy activity, and like it should be fun and crazy if you want that, but it should also be, you know, about affection, and I think the affection side has definitely been lost because of porn.
I last watched porn about 12 weeks ago. It's had at points really devastating impact on my own well-being and mental health, and it's only in the last kind of 6 months, 7 months that I'm kind of finally actually seeing some change.
Last time I saw porn was probably a few days ago. It's very difficult for me to decide if porn has been good for me or bad for me, because I do think it's been a combination. I know that I wouldn't have been able to learn about myself without porn. However, I do know that the escalation of porn that I watch has been so extreme that it is a case of like, well, where does it end?
I don't look at porn actually myself. I think people who are too young to know what it is and the effects that it can have on your brain look at it, and I think that's really awful for them, and it sort of loses their innocence quickly. It gives them an idea about sex that isn't real and isn't true.
I usually watch pornography maybe 3 or 4 times a week. There isn't much respect for women at all in porn, but in real life, in real sex, I think there is respect for women. Well, I would hope that the vast, vast majority of the population can understand that porn is porn, it's fantasy, and that reality and real sex are two completely different things. It is a harmless bit of fun, and that's how it should be treated. It shouldn't be seen as this big taboo subject.
You're listening to a special programme on PM on BBC Radio 4 and on Newsbeat on Radio 1 and One Extra. We're looking at how easy access to a wide variety of pornography online is affecting people's lives. If you want to watch the Brought Up on Porn documentary, it's on the Radio 1 channel on the BBC iPlayer.
We'll carry on having frank discussions about this between now and 6. You might not want to hear some of the things we're discussing if you have children with you or you're likely to be easily offended. And if you want advice about the things you hear, there's more information on the BBC advice pages, or you can call Radio 1 Surgery on 0800 110 100.
Also, if you're offended by lots of warnings, you should switch off now, because there's going to be a lot of warnings between now and 6. Let's hear from some of the people who've gone to all the trouble of coming in to see us. Josh is a student. He's 21. Rahel is also studying. She's 24. We'll start with you, Josh. When did you start watching porn, if I can ask you a very personal question?
I think the first time I watched pornography, I will have been about 11 or 12 years old.
And how did you see that?
It was in the school playground. It was someone's phone. There was a group of us, maybe five, six of us, gathered round, and we just watched it.
And over the years, tell me about your habit.
I wouldn't really call it a habit, but usually I'd watch it on my laptop when I was a bit younger, but with the sort of the dawn of this smartphone era, this technology age, you can go on your phone now and you can get millions and millions of sites up instantly. So that's changed it.
And how do you feel about it? We just heard in the report there from someone saying, look, it's no big taboo, don't get worked up about it.
That was me. I agree with that. To me, it is sort of a meme. It's almost an art form. It's an expression. And if you allow yourself to be influenced by that, then you are allowing yourself to be influenced by other forms of the media. It's not the media's fault, for example. It's your fault for allowing yourself to be so easily influenced and taken on board by this.
So you're completely relaxed about it?
Completely relaxed.
How does it affect your relationships?
I don't think it's had any negative effect on any relationship I've had, be that sexually with someone or even just in day-to-day life. You've got to sort of detach the fantasy from the reality aspect.
How do you think women are represented in porn?
Admittedly, I mean, I've come from a male opinion here. Females, they aren't represented the best in it. They are sort of seen as maybe objects, maybe derogatory things, maybe not as equal as their male counterparts. I'd imagine a woman's opinion on pornography would be different.
Why do you think they're represented in that way? I mean, you're not responsible for the representation, but that's quite common.
Pornography is for a male audience. Yes, women do watch it. I'm not saying women don't watch it. But pornography is made by men for the enjoyment of males, and that's why the representation is such.
But you wouldn't treat a woman in that way
in
real life?
You can't allow yourself to watch porn and think, right, that's how I'm going to go treat women.
How do your friends view porn? Is their consumption, is it something you talk about?
No, porn is seen as a taboo subject in this country, in this day and age, particularly, I'd say, among young people. We don't talk about
it. Even though your experience started in the playground at 11 or 12?
Yeah, so we might have a laugh and a joke about it, as you would at that age. But
you wouldn't talk about it seriously?
No, not seriously.
What would you say to anyone who doesn't have your attitude to porn and feels it's getting in the way of their life?
I think, you know, help is available if they need that, but I think you've really got to detach yourself. You can't be influenced so strongly by it. It's just sex. That's all it is. That's all they're portraying. You can't allow yourself to be warped by it.
Okay, thanks, Josh.
Okay, well, let's now hear what it's like being in a relationship where your partner is really into online porn and it just doesn't really interest you. That's you, Rahel, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So can you tell me a bit about your ex-boyfriend and what happened there?
So he would watch porn quite regularly, and his ideas, I guess, about sex and how sex should be, and in turn how the woman he was with should be, which was me, were really heavily revolved around porn and the kind of porn that he was watching, and that was really evident to me, and it was quite obvious.
And did you watch it with him sometimes?
I had done on a couple of occasions, yes, during, but I just found it quite mechanical, and it didn't feel like I was really present in the moment, and it wasn't the kind of thing that I enjoyed. I just didn't get anything out of it.
Did it ever upset you or disturb you, anything that you saw?
Not what I'd saw, but I think it had impacted my self-confidence, really, because I felt that I had to act a certain way and look a certain way to please him and make him happy. And obviously when you're with somebody, you want them to be happy, you want them to be satisfied. And at that age especially, I was quite impressionable and maybe didn't have that kind of inner confidence to say, actually, no, this is what I want, these are my boundaries. So when he was saying there, you know, you can't allow yourself to be influenced, it's very easy to say that, but actually people are influenced, especially at different points of their lives, especially young people.
Obviously, it's not even 6 p.m. yet, so we can't go into too much detail about what he was wanting you to do. But can you get into any sort of behaviours, any things, and anything like outfits or anything like that?
Things like dressing up, heels, looking a certain way, body hair, that kind of thing.
What can you tell me a bit about the body hair, if you don't mind?
Well, the lack of it, so for it to not be there, really.
And how did that make you feel, that sort of he was trying to was he trying to change you, or did it
feel like that? It was more just the kind of chore of it and the kind of having to keep up with it all the time. It just became really monotonous and I just kind of ended up resenting it.
Well, we've got Bethany here, and Bethany, you teach sex education classes in schools. Just listening to what they're saying, what does that ring true to you? Are these cases rare, or
yeah, absolutely does. We hear stories like this all the time, and often we do mixed classes usually. Some schools want us to do separate boys' classes and girls' classes, maybe because there's been an issue in the particular school. Maybe something's happened between a couple, or maybe there's been a huge issue with sexting, for example, and they want us to do separate classes. But usually we are having a mixed gender class, and these kind of opinions are coming up where a lot of boys are saying, hey, it doesn't matter, it's not that big a deal. And girls are saying, well, actually, I think it is. And often what then happens when we kind of go through the class gradually and we kind of explore it a little bit more, boys start to actually say, oh, okay, maybe it's not as harmless as I thought. Maybe I do get my expectations of what a girl should look like from porn, and maybe that's not very real.
What from what Rahel has said particularly rings true or is particularly concerning?
Like, I think what she said about body hair and about kind of what women have to look like, and that's not just obviously just in pornography, that's in advertisement and media everywhere. You know, we have a certain idea of what a woman should be, kind of look like, and how she should behave, and that's really damaging. We don't tend to talk about female sexuality at all, and so if the only time we're kind of thinking about it and talking about it is in relation to pornography, that can be really harmful to young girls, especially young girls who are wanting to kind of explore and are getting into relationships. For them, that's really, really dangerous.
Thanks, Bethany. Among the messages we've already had, I'm a 23-year-old married woman and I think porn is a good thing. As a teen, I didn't talk or learn much about sex, and watching it has shown me how many different types of body sizes and looks there are. It's very varied, and as long as it doesn't start affecting your real relationships in a bad way, I see it as positive. And there's another one. I saw my boyfriend watching porn and it really upsets me. It made me feel self-conscious and I felt like I needed to change the way I looked. I'm interested, actually, Rahel, Josh was saying that he thinks pornography is... the stuff he was watching was designed for men and portrayed women in a certain way. You had your troubles with your ex-boyfriend. Do you watch porn for your own enjoyment? Do you see it?
Very rarely.
And what do you think of it?
I think it has its place, like anything in life. You know, it's the same with alcohol. I think it's just about having balance of life. But I think at certain points, for young women, from my perspective anyway, it can be damaging because you just haven't built that self-confidence yet to know who you are and to be strong enough to say, you know, these are my boundaries and these are my limits.
Do you think if women made more porn, it would be better?
I don't know. Maybe we should try. Maybe.
All right. You're listening to a special programme on Radio 1, One Extra and Radio 4. We're looking at how easy it is to access pornography online and how people say it's affecting their lives. Many of those we've been hearing from say it's a good thing. It's made their sex lives more interesting. But as we've been hearing, others are worried that porn is creating expectations that they can't or don't want to meet. Newsbeat reporter Hannah Moore worked on the Brought Up on Porn documentary. Here she is with a report that, I warn you, contains adult language and themes.
Porn isn't just a turn-on. For some, it seems to blur the lines with reality.
Porn is, you know, kind of reality on acid. You can literally discover a perfect version of whatever. But the difference is that with porn, there's no emotional feedback. There's no comfort. You know, you've had a crap day in work. Porn doesn't talk to you about that. It's the real people in the real world who are there for you emotionally and help you through whatever struggles you're going through.
This 22-year-old says it changed the way he saw women.
The way I'd look at females is I don't look at them as human beings, I look at them as objects. It has warped my mind. I was unable to actually be a gentleman to women, rather treat them, you know, how they've been treated in the video, like so poorly, like without any love, without any sympathy, empathy, care.
And porn seems to be leading some people to have different expectations of sex. A warning that the women here talk in some graphic detail.
There have been quite a few times where it's been a lot more rough than I expected it to be. They've thought that that was an okay thing to do because of what they'd seen in pornography. Pretending to strangle me or like spanking me and things like kind of sort of hitting me, but not like very hard.
I think porn's definitely caused anal sex to be more common Yes, it's definitely become a much less taboo thing than it used to be. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just about asking first, really.
Consent or coercion? According to a study of 500 people by the Institute for Public Policy Research, 3/4 of young women say porn makes them feel pressured to act and look a certain way.
Pornography has definitely caused women being completely shaven or almost completely shaven to be more normal than them having hair. I've been with boys who've said, oh, you have to keep shaving, it's gross if you don't shave. And so I've just carried on shaving because it's what the man wants, without stopping and questioning it and thinking, yeah, but can I be bothered to shave?
I got drunk and then had a one-night stand with some guy from my university. I think it was a month later or something. My housemate said to me, oh, I just spoke to so-and-so, and they said, yeah, I heard she slept with so-and-so and that she's filthy and she doesn't shave. That really hurt me. After that, I sort of made sure I shaved every little patch on my body.
And it's not just in casual hookups. Porn can cause problems for people in relationships too.
So if you sometimes look at porn now that we're married, I just feel like, am I not giving you something that you want?
We set up a camera in the car while married couple Rachel and Bob had a tricky conversation.
When you do watch porn, are you comparing me to those women when we're having sex?
Well, it's a question that I'd usually just avoid, isn't it?
You can see how that chat plays out in the documentary Brought Up on Porn, which is on iPlayer now.
And remember, if you're worried about anything you've heard today, there's more information on the BBC advice pages, or you can call Radio 1 Surgery on 0800 110 100. And just another warning, especially if you're listening with children, that our discussions about these adult themes will continue until just before 6 this evening. Now, here's another message from one of you. I'm 35 and have watched porn for most of my adult life. I've now turned to seeing escorts who offer the services that you see in videos, right up to quite extreme things. I don't believe in pressuring normal girls into doing things they're not comfortable with. The experience with someone who is happy to indulge in these type of fantasies always ends up being a far better time.
Rahel, that conversation we just listened to between Rachel and Bob in the car, and we were all slightly gasping in the studio at that long gap before he answered. Did that ring bells with you?
It's funny actually, because the kind of porn that my ex used to watch, the girls would look really similar to me. So that kind of rang a bit of a bell with me, and I was just trying to understand in my head why and what that really meant. I guess it was kind of strange, you know, that he was looking at girls that looked really similar to me. It's just kind of like, why?
Is that more reassuring or more threatening?
I don't know. Maybe a bit of both.
Do you think porn led to a control aspect in your relationship?
Yeah, I think so, to a certain extent. Around sex, anyway, yes.
And we talked sort of obliquely earlier about the sort of type of requests and demands he made. Do you think if it hadn't been for porn, your relationship would have survived?
No, I think...
Oh, he was toast anyway, was he?
Yeah, I think relationships are much more, you know, diverse than that. There's a lot more dynamic, the reasons why we weren't together. But I think in terms of the sex life and in terms of my confidence as a young woman at that point, it had a negative impact for sure.
I do wonder if the age that you were when you were with him, you were 18 when you first got together. Bethany, I don't know what you think about this. That is... your first proper boyfriend, if that can make that you're so much more impressionable, it's hard to get an idea of what's right, what's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you've never had sex or relationships before, it's maybe the first serious long-term relationship, you're excited about that. And if the only education you've ever had around sex is from pornography, then that doesn't really make for a kind of necessarily a healthy relationship. If you've both learnt from porn and that's the only place and that's kind of coming in, then it makes it very hard to learn kind of from a neutral base, I guess.
So we've heard a lot about women feeling like the portrayal of women in porn damages their self-confidence and their body image. Josh, what about you as a man? When you watch porn, how does that make you feel? obviously I know you enjoy it, but that aside.
Personally, I don't feel insecure or inadequate or anything watching it, I think.
What, never?
No. When you're watching it, they're not trying to portray this real sex. They're not trying to show the love and the emotions that can go in having sex with someone you care about. They're just depicting this sort of fantasy that sex can be like. You know, they're not trying to make it real, and I don't think that's why it didn't affect me.
Let me bring in Peter at this stage. Peter Saddington, sex therapist. What do you think of what you've heard so far? And don't say rubbish.
No, well, sadly, it's a common theme in lots of therapy sessions where couples and individuals are coming forward and saying it's started to become a problem in their lives. And I think some of the things that we've heard people talking about is how it starts preoccupying, that they're planning or thinking about when is the next opportunity going to occur for them to look at porn or to make use of something. And it starts becoming something that they can't manage without. And that's clearly then starts having an impact both on employment and on the relationship.
How do you help people in those sort of circumstances?
Well, the first thing is they have to acknowledge they have got a problem. And, you know,
can that be tricky?
It can be, and quite often they're coming because they've been found out. If they hadn't been found out, they probably wouldn't be sitting in that chair talking about it. So that's the starting point more than anything else. If they are prepared to work on it, then it is perfectly possible to do a recovery work to help somebody to give up a coping mechanism, a way of managing, and exchange it for something that's healthier, something that they can use that makes them feel good about themselves or enables them to feel more relaxed or less stressed, because that's quite often the reason why guys get hooked into this. It becomes a way of managing their own emotions.
And when you say found out, that rather suggests that a lot of couples never talk to each other about one or other using pornography.
And that's one of the starting points in doing the work, is getting couples to talk about what they do want in their sexual relationship. And it's really quite shocking when you think how much porn there is, how much sex is talked about within the media. When you sit and work with a couple, that very few of them do actually talk about what they want in their own sexual relationship.
Would you encourage people who don't feel they're having any kind of problem at the moment to talk about their use of porn anyway?
I think it's a healthy thing to start talking about whether you do or want to watch porn. And if you do and you want to talk about why you want to. What's the purpose of doing that? What purpose is it serving in your couple relationship or for you as an individual?
Rahel, what do you think of that advice?
I think that's really good. I think that rings true. You know, why are you using it? What's it actually doing for you? Is it filling a hole? Is it giving you some kind of satisfaction because you haven't got satisfaction from somewhere else in your life? Is it to do with your sex life? Is there something that you're not discussing with your partner? These are questions that I think you should be asking yourself if you're a regular watcher of it, for sure.
Peter, what sort of age groups come to you?
I suppose the youngest I've seen has been 15 and the oldest was 79.
Bethany?
Well, yeah, well, we kind of do a lot of stuff. My job is with young people, and we do kind of workshops with parents, and therefore we're talking about children. But again, we've got a recovery programme ourselves, an online recovery programme, and that's had men kind of in their 50s, 60s. So it's a problem across the board. It's not just with young people or even just with men.
OK, this is Newsbeat and PM on Radio 1, One Extra and BBC Radio 4. We've got a special programme to coincide with Newsbeat's latest documentary, Brought Up on Porn. You can find it on the iPlayer now. Our discussions involve adult language and adult themes and will continue until just before 6. Now, we were just hearing from Bethany there. Bethany, you want people to be properly educated about porn. Where and when should this happen?
Yeah, I think the big thing, the reason we want them to be properly educated about porn, kind of the potential harmful impacts, is because we don't get any teaching on what a positive relationship looks like. You know, when we say, don't drink, don't do drugs, don't have sex before that, you know, until whatever it might be. And actually, that's really harmful for young people. They need to be taught a positive relationships look like, what positive sex looks like. And so we go in, and I think we do it from kind of in secondary school age, so if with 11-year-olds, but by that point the majority of them have already seen pornography, and if they haven't, then they definitely see it within the first year, 2 years of being at secondary school.
So you'd like to see it younger, maybe as part of the national curriculum, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's necessary. I mean, Ofsted said a couple of years ago that the kind of sex education, the curriculum in the UK was really bad, that it only focused on the mechanics of reproduction, and that's just simply not good enough for a culture that is kind of very, it's always talking about sex and it's portrayed everywhere. We now need to be helping young people make good, healthy decisions for themselves.
And you've described yourself as a former porn addict. Do you think those experiences have given you an insight into all of this?
Absolutely, and I'm not making this stuff up. You know, I first saw porn when I was 9, and basically throughout until I was 21, I couldn't stop watching it. I tried multiple times and couldn't stop, and it was only when I learned a bit more about the issue, the surrounding issue, that I thought, oh my goodness, I was actually addicted to that, and kind of went through some recovery myself, similar to what was talked about before, like a relate counselling session, and that made a huge difference in my life. And I'm seeing that all the time with young people, with adults, that actually this is a huge issue, that a lot of people aren't happy with the way that they are using porn.
And what are schools like when you approach them about having these lessons? Are they in favour of them? Are they reluctant?
Yeah, a lot of teachers are like, oh, thank goodness that you can cover this and not us, because actually they're very aware that this is a huge issue, as I said before, issues like sexting, or they've caught a group of teenagers looking at porn in the break time, and they know that this is a massive issue for teenagers. And so when you can actually bring in an expert, somebody who's trained, who knows what they're talking about, who can share stories on this issue, most schools will jump at the opportunity. And it's been great that, you know, we're being asked to go all up and down the UK to teach this stuff, and we want to be able to train teachers as well. We don't want to just be the only ones doing it, and so we're working hard to talk to parents and to train teachers on this issue as well.
And have any schools turned you down?
No,
interested.
Only for funding reasons, to be honest. If schools are saying, we'd love to have you, but we don't have budget, that's the only reason.
All right, Bethany and Peter, Rahel and Josh, we appreciate it. We've got lots more messages. Here's one from a 20-year-old. I first started watching porn around the age of 14 and always felt ashamed of it, never telling anyone. Another message says, my 10-year relationship and marriage has just ended because I discovered my husband's secret addiction. If you want to watch the Newsbeat documentary brought up on porn, you'll find it on the Radio 1 channel of the BBC iPlayer.
And if you need advice about anything you've heard tonight, then do a search for the BBC Advices page, or you can call Radio 1 Surgery on 0800 110 100. This is Newsbeat on Radio 1 and 1 Extra, and PM on BBC Radio 4. It's 5:57.
Now, the PM weather forecast. We're back on our own 9 Radio 4, and all the smut has stopped. Well, we'll see how Jay Wynn does the weather forecast. Jay?
Thanks, Eddie. Good evening. And it's looking good over the next few days. High pressure over Scandinavia will continue to exert its influence over us, bringing some fine weather to most of us over the next few days. And it was a lovely day for just about all parts of the UK today. And it's a sunny evening for most, just a bit of patchy cloud here and there. Light winds for most as well. A bit more of a breeze for some southern and western coasts, and we keep that going overnight. Skies will be clear, though, and with light winds inland, temperatures will dip into single figures, especially in more rural spots in more northern parts of the UK, into single figures. 4 or 5 at the very lowest, larger town cities holding up quite nicely in double figures. Now, if you do start a bit chilly tomorrow, that won't last long because temperatures rise quite quickly in the morning sunshine. So in Northern Ireland, it's going to be a lovely day, mostly sunny and warm, just a bit of a breeze. We'll still get temperatures into the low 20s, very pleasant day here, as it will be across most of Scotland. So maybe some early low cloud for the east coast, but that should disappear. Then it's mostly sunny into the afternoon, just a bit of patchy cloud here and there, and quite warm, particularly around the shores of the Murray Firth, 23, 24 degrees here, but even in Glasgow, it's around about 21 or 22. Now, for England and Wales, well, most places will have another fine, dry day with plenty of sunshine. However, easternmost counties, especially right along the coast, we'll see some low cloud at times. That'll peg the temperatures back at around about 18 or 19 degrees. Move your way inland, and the skies will be that bit clearer. Plenty of sunshine. Somewhere like the West Midlands will see temperatures around about 26 or 27 degrees. Many of us will have a decent day again on Wednesday, but it's in Northern Ireland we start to see the change to cloudier, wetter conditions.
Sometimes people ask, where is home? Homes, I reply. Can it not be plural, please?
Thought-provoking personal stories on BBC Radio 4.
When it was all over, Staff Sergeant Anholt tried to forget what he'd seen. He locked it in a box. He threw away the key.
Challenging culture, society and the status quo.
How do you comfort a woman who has already seen enough political upheavals to know that once blood is shed, the scars will take decades to heal?
Forethought returns on Wednesday evening at 8:45, and then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.
BBC News at 6 o'clock. This is Susan Ray. Good evening. The Prime Minister has welcomed the closure of a controversial law firm which was accused of bringing false claims against British troops in Iraq. Public interest lawyers, which submitted hundreds of allegations of misconduct and unlawful killing by British soldiers, is to shut down at the end of the month. A former Premier League footballer has died after being shot with a taser by police in Shropshire. A woman from South London has been jailed for persuading doctors to carry out unnecessary surgery on her children so she could claim disability benefits. The BBC has been told that as many as 50 countries may have to cancel plans to compete at the Rio Paralympics because crucial travel grants have not been paid. Team GB have picked up another gold. Charlotte Dujardin has just won the dressage, her third Olympic title. Also tonight, who is running the country? Theresa May has welcomed the closure of a controversial law firm, which was accused of submitting false claims of mistreatment and unlawful killing by British troops in Iraq. Public Interest Lawyers, which is based in Birmingham and London, had sought compensation for hundreds of Iraqis. But the firm was criticised after the Al-Swedi inquiry, which concluded some of the claims, that British soldiers murdered detainees during a battle in southern Iraq in 2004, were based on lies and speculation. Public Interest Lawyers is to shut at the end of the month after it was stripped of legal aid funding. Our legal affairs correspondent, Clive Coleman, reports.
Public Interest Lawyers, or PIL as it's known, has brought hundreds of publicly funded claims alleging abuse by British troops during the Iraq War and its aftermath. It represented the family of Burhan Musa, an Iraqi hotel manager who died with 93 injuries in British Army custody in Basra in 2003. The Ministry of Defence paid substantial compensation, and in 2011 a public inquiry called it an appalling episode of serious gratuitous violence in a very serious breach of discipline by UK soldiers. The firm's founder, Phil Shiner, became the Law Society Solicitor of the Year. But recently the firm lost its legal aid funding after the legal aid agency found it had breached contractual requirements. PIL represented complainants in the £31 million Al-Swedi inquiry into a battle in southern Iraq. But allegations that detainees were tortured and killed by British troops were withdrawn just months before the end of the five-year inquiry, which concluded they were based on deliberate lies, reckless speculation, and ingrained hostility. That led to criticism of PIL and another firm. Phil Shiner faces an inquiry by the Solicitors Disciplinary Tribunal, and earlier this month, the Daily Telegraph reported that he's accused by legal regulators of knowing about bribes to Iraqi civilians to bring abuse claims against soldiers. These were allegedly disguised as travel and translation expenses and then submitted as legal aid claims.